And this mission of Imam Hussein is so globalized, and our own people are taking this and labeling one language to it, one culture to it, and thinking for a moment that, for example, English speeches or English azadari has no shape or form here in the West. I'm asking you that the same way that Nabi Musa would not use the Quran to guide his people, the same way the Prophet Muhammad would not use the serpent or the staff to guide his people, the same way, how can you use guidance from that part of the world for these kids here? It doesn't work that way. It didn't happen in the Prophet's time, it won't happen today. It's a different story that you can't really accept the fact that this change is happening. That's a different story. But you have to accept the fact that you brought your child from that Eastern country to this Western country, and you have to use the tools of this society to guide your youth. Because then you'll end up crying and saying, my kid is off the path, my kid is off the path. And those that are trying to do anything to bring your child back on the path, you'll be a roadblock for them. So we have to understand that guidance throughout all of history was always used according to the need of the people. And today, Azadari in the West is the exact same way. I'm not an enemy of culture, of languages, believe me, I'm not. In fact, a group had visited, I'd say it's Sistani, may Allah protect him, inshallah. And if you've been to go see Agha Sistani, you know that he always has one piece of advice for every Western group that comes. He says, when you go back to the West, to your group and your communities, tell your youth to hold on to their mother tongue. He says that always. But that doesn't mean that you reject everything else. It doesn't mean that everything has to be done in your mother tongue. Yes, preserve your culture. But in this global mission, when those doors are open and there's different colors of skin that's right in front of me, that shows that Imam Hussein was for humanity. If we're taking Imam Hussein's mission and limiting it to one group, we've done oppression. We've done zulm. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing by spreading the message of Imam Hussein. Bibi Zainab took the alam and took the mission of Imam Hussein and made sure that every corner of the globe screams, Ya Hussein today. And for us to block that progress, we're going against the grain now. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Ali. Again, there are several issues. One more thing I wanted to discuss before Messiah, and these are things to me that are extremely important. I just want to make sure I don't leave without saying that. There's a whole philosophy in Islam about problems and mishappenings in life. Our youth right now, and believe me, I know, guys, our youth right now go through a lot of hardships. It's not easy to go to school, maintain a certain GPA, you have SATs, you want to go into med school, you want to write your MCAT, you want to do your MBA, you want to write your LSAT, whatever the case may be. It's not easy. On top of that, you have your community obligations, your family obligations. And sometimes what happens is that we take these problems and hardships onto us and we see it as a negative aspect. And again, this is a whole month. It's very, very, in 5-10 minutes, I want to briefly explain to you, with the help of one story, to understand how Islam looks at hardships in life. There's a man who was watching a butterfly being born. Stay with me for a moment here, please. If you've seen a butterfly come into existence, you know that initially it's a cocoon, correct? And the butterfly has to break through that cocoon to become a butterfly. Yes? This man in that jar, he's watching this cocoon break open. He sees the head of the butterfly, and he sees half the body of the butterfly come out of the cocoon, and then the butterfly stops. And the man watches and says, I wonder, what's going to happen next? The butterfly is not moving now for a good 2-3 minutes. He now decides that, look, I'll help this butterfly out. Opens the jar, takes out the cocoon, and snips the side of the cocoon. The butterfly comes out, his body is swollen, and his wings are shriveled. He thinks for a moment, okay, you know what, any minute now, he'll be okay and he'll fly off. And he thought that, in his generosity, he thought maybe I was helping the butterfly. The butterfly stayed in that state. Throughout his whole life, he never got to fly. What that that man didn't realize, this is the point, what that man didn't realize in his haste and his kindness was the struggle that the butterfly has to go through to come out of the cocoon. Was that struggle to make sure the fluid in your stomach spreads to your wings. Oh. What he didn't realize is that the butterfly had to go through that hardship to be able to become a true butterfly and fly the way he should fly. And so what he did was he rushed that process. And he didn't allow that butterfly to go through that hardship and allow the fluid to spread to his wings. We sometimes run from hardships, we run from problems, we ask why Allah, why Allah, why Allah. And tonight at 1:30 inshallah we have a discussion about Shab-e Ashur. We'll look at the fact that Imam Hussein and his companions never once complained to God. We never hear one word of complaint to Allah. In fact, the khutbah of Shab-e Ashur, he starts off by glorifying Allah. We have to adopt this lifestyle. We cannot run from hardships. Look, I'll give you a very quick example. There are cardiologists here, mashallah, in the audience, heart doctors. If God forbid you have a heart attack and you go running to the hospital, they attach to you what's called a heart monitor, yes? There is this box, and I used this example here before. There's a box, and that box, when attached to you, to read your heart, it gives you two readings. Either it gives you the ups and downs and the ups and downs, or it gives you... The ups and downs represent what, guys? Represents life. The ups and downs on that heart monitor represents life. The straight line represents what? Inna lillah. I hope I bought a kafa from Masad Rizvi, otherwise I'm in trouble. That's what it is. The ups and downs of that heart monitor is telling us. That simple, small box is telling us. The ups and downs is a sign of life. And a flat line is a dead life. These hardships, these potholes, these speed bumps on our way is what develops us as human beings. Look, if you want to make iron nice and strong, you put it to fire. You want to sharpen a knife, you grind the knife until it becomes sharp. Humans are the exact same way. You want to understand what a human being is like? Put him through trials and tribulations. Imam Hussein's sacrifice is dhibhi azim, the ultimate sacrifice. Why? He sacrificed everything, including his own six-month-old child. He stands there on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein. And I want you to imagine this for a moment. On the day of Ashura, after bringing back every shaheed, he's drenched in blood, he's drenched in his own sweat and tears. His back is broken, he's weak, and there's no one left except for him and Imam Sajjad. He stands there in the Maidan of Karbala, and they say for a moment he pauses and he looks out to the bodies lying on the floor, and he begins to call them out one by one. He says, Qasim, Ali Akbar, Ono Muhammad, Abbas, your Mawla, your Master is calling you. Why aren't you responding to me? And then he says the famous Hal min nasirin surah, is there anyone out there to help our cause? Our books tell us at that moment Bibi Zainab's voice had elevated a little bit. And Imam Hussein went running back to the camp. You've heard the Masaib. Everyone here is tired. I'm tired. Just two more minutes. He goes back to the camp, he sees that his six-month-old child has taken himself out of his seat. He's on the ground. Imam Hussein thinks that the level of thirst that my six-month-old has been too much. I'm going to go out to the Maidan and I'm going to try to get water for him. He wraps up his six-month-old child, he goes out to the Maidan of Karbala, and he announces to the army of Yazid, says, look, your war and your problem is with me. This six-month-old child is innocent. I just want a drop of water for my son. That's all I want. And if you think for a moment that I'm going to drink his water, I'll put him on the ground. You come and give him water. They say that the body of Ali Asghar from extreme thirst was shaking, they say, in the arms of Imam Hussein. And this scene was so treacherous for the army of Yazid that people began to cry. and began to cry. And the chief of the army knew that if this continues, this war would be over. He says, Hormalah, quench the thirst of this six-month-old child. Hormalah was the best archer they had. But they say it took him 3 arrows to shoot that arrow. 3 times. Every time he went to go load it, his hand would shake. Some say he saw the Prophet of Allah in front of Ali Asghar. Some say he saw the silhouette of a mother waiting for her child in the tents. But ultimately what happens, as we all know, is that arrow is shot. It hits the neck of Ali Asghar. He's pinned to the arm of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein's sister lying holding his lifeless body in his arms. He takes the blood of Ali Asghar. He begins to throw it towards the sky. The guy says, we can't handle this blood. He begins to throw it on the ground. The guy says, we can't handle this blood. Imam Hussein takes the blood of his six-month-old infant and wipes it on his face. He's holding the body now. How do you tell the mother of a six-month-old child that I went for water? And this happened. Imam Hussein stops and thinks. He moves forward, he stops for a moment. He moves back, he stops for a moment. 7 times they say, Inna lillah, inna ilayhi raji'un, radan biqadahi wa taslim al amri. 7 times back and forth in tomorrow's amal that we do that. We remember this very moment. Imam Hussein is holding the body of his 6-month-old child. He has no idea what to say to Rabab. How do I tell her? He calls for Bibi Zainab. Bibi Zainab, before Bibi Zainab could reach the body of Ali Asghar, Rabab comes out of the camp. He shows the body of Ali Asghar to Rabab, and Rabab asks one question. She says, I had no idea that 6-month-old babies become shaheed as well. At that moment, Imam Hussein says, Rabab, help me, come bury our child. He takes his ultiqar, he digs up a little small grave in Karbala, buries his child. When water is given to Sakina in Kufa, they say, the first thing she did was she turned towards Karbala and says, Ali Asghar, there's water now. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي من قلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون مات من الحسين.